It's the PB&J Show with your host Patrick Butler and Jesse Hutmaker. Welcome to the show. I am one of the hosts, Patrick Butler, and my co-host Jesse Hutmaker is here. Jesse, we're back, man.
Yeah, it feels great to be back. Our box set is going to be chocked full of rarities and unheard of, unreleased podcasts when we hit that magic number soon.
Well, we were in between seasons. We took a little time to deal with contract negotiations, and we're so happy we got picked up for a long-term deal, and we're back on for an exciting sixth season of the show, and here we are kicking it off. Excited to get all that out of the way, man. Let the lawyers do their job.
Yeah, our representation is top-notch. I can't thank them enough for all that they've done to make this happen.
Well, we're back at it, and in the spirit of things, man, let's jump in. Let's talk about something that was on my mind, man. And I got to ask you how you and Beth dealt with this, man. You guys just went through a big one. Hurricane Ida hit the coast, and you guys dealt with that. What did you guys end up doing?
Well, first, I want to thank everybody that reached out to me, either through text, phone call, email. For their concerns, it meant a lot in a very, very trying time. Also, I want to let people know out there that New Orleans, you know, you watch the news, and the city got hit hard, real hard, lost a lot of power. Actually, the whole city lost power, lost a lot of trees, a lot of roofs need to be repaired. But our city was spared. We were truly spared. Our neighbors to the south got pounded. Even if you go to put it into perspective where the airport is, and that's in Kenner. Kenner got hit hard. And so our city really dodged a bullet in terms of a lot of things. So, I would like to just kind of acknowledge that although our city is slowly recovering, the state, the rest of the state, and our fellow residents to the south, it's going to be a long time. Many of them still do not have water, running water, and power. So they got a long haul ahead of them, and they're still recovering from last year's hurricane as well. So I wanted to get that out of the way before I, do maybe a woe is me kind of thing. It was interesting. Looking back on it now, that was my, I think it was my fourth hurricane. I've had three here, two or three here, and then one or two when I lived in Wilmington. Been through tornadoes, of course, blizzards, of course, earthquake in Washington when I lived there. And far and away, the hurricane was the scariest in terms of not knowing what's going to happen. Being from the Midwest, a tornado, you can kind of see it coming and kind of feel the path of it, notice the path of it, and take shelter if you need to. But there's just, you just have to, you can't hide in a closet. You can't hide in the basement, which nobody has here. You can't hide in your bathtub. There's just no real course of action for protecting yourself besides evacuating. That made the experience ridiculous, really, really frightening. The storm lasted, hung out in the metropolitan area-ish for a good 12 hours. It started around 11 a.m., and it was still going on as we approached midnight Sunday night. So it was it was very very scary because I know I'm going on here, but I would look outside because I'd hear something, and you'd see shingles. You'd see odd things flying through the air. I look at my neighbor's house behind me, and their siding is flopping back and forth. And then an hour and a half later, I go and I look, and half of the siding on their back of the house is gone. So through it all, you're just hoping that everything is okay with you, hoping that, if something happens, that it's not going to be major, or you're going to be able to cope with it. So in that regard, it was a very, very frightening experience, because as it got worse, you couldn't go anywhere. If Beth and I decided at 4 in the afternoon on Sunday that we wanted to evacuate, it wasn't happening. There was too much wind, too much rain, too many tree branches down. So it just was a very frightening experience. And I hope I never have to live through one again. And I hope people out there don't have to live through one again, but I know that that's not the case for people. So, but yeah, sorry to go on about that, but that's the easiest way for me to kind of talk about that.
Well, let's face it, it's a traumatic experience. I mean, yes, coming from the Midwest, you and I have gone through many, many tornadoes, warnings, watches, what have you, and blizzard situations as well. I've gone through one earthquake, so I can at least say that I've gone through that experience. But regardless of the event, it's traumatic because, to your point, every noise, every noise or shake that you or shudder that you hear, suddenly you think the worst, and it's a terrible experience. Now, you were able to get out. You did leave, right?
Yes. Monday morning, we decided, to get out of the house, make sure, assess, see if the house was okay. And I live very close to where I work, so I wanted to walk the dogs and check out how our work was. And we had lost cell phone service, and I know that there's a cell phone tower close to where I work. So I'm like, well, we'll see. And I'm literally doing like the old, can you hear me now? I'm holding my phone up as we walk to see if I'm getting signal, moving it around, all the while walking to work to see what, if we had any damage there. It's an old tin warehouse. And of course I'm seeing pieces of tin as we're walking. I'm freaking out that I'm going to arrive upon a building that is its former self and exposed. I did end up with a new pink flip-flop that was left for me out front. And then there was a black Nike. It looked a little too small, but yeah, it was fortunately nothing was wrong at work. But once I realized that we didn't have cell phone and no landline, so to speak, because my phone at work is internet-based, Beth's phone is internet-based, and the one person that we thought might have a landline had already gotten out of town. So, I hit that point. I really didn't say much to Beth. I just started packing things up and I was like, let's go. And we had the very fortunate opportunity that her dad lives in Daphne, Alabama, a little over 2 hours from here. And so we just went there with the dogs and the cooler of stuff that we had taken out the day before and some clothes. So we were very fortunate in that regard, because hotels are also very hard to come by along that path. I had two people that I'd reached out to see how they were doing, and they were like, oh, I was heading to Florida, but we called, everything's closed down. We're in this little town along the highway in Alabama, but yeah, we were very fortunate to be able to evacuate from that. And we left Monday afternoon.
Well, roll tide. literally, in this case, glad you could do that. But it brings up a really big point, and that is, you know, obviously these events are going to occur. They have occurred in the past. They're going to continue to occur. But as we continue to see stuff like this happen, man, whether it's in the on the coastal region or on the West Coast with the forest fires, and we're continuing to see weather events happen even further through the Midwest and the upper Northeast that are just unheard of. We're seeing dramatic changes that are affecting people. And I'm just, it poses the question, you were able to get out and you're fortunate. And, you know, some of us are able to get away or can take care of our families if we had to, but there's so many that can't. And it just poses the question, as these things continue to occur and grow in intensity, what is this going to do to the population, man? What are people going to do? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. you know, as I said earlier, there's still businesses that haven't opened back up. There's still people that haven't returned. And you know, like, if we did not have her father, you know, close by, if we didn't have family close by, we would be staring down the fact that it would have easily been you know, a couple grand for a hotel with dogs, food, you know, you got to eat, you know, at least one meal a day, you know, and gas to get where you're going, you know, essentials. And we're very fortunate that it just cost us the gas to go there. And I did create a hurricane kit from Target, that stuff we didn't have that we thought we had. And my thought was, well, if we lose power, we're going to lose it for a couple days. And, you know, I was completely set in to deal with that. It was the phone that was really at a breaking point for me, because I know my mom was freaking out about it. Beth's dad had called, you know, checking in several times, and not being able to communicate is going to just be the absolute worst. You know, several of the 911 numbers in the area, when AT&T went down, they lost that too. So there was tons of the emergency outlets that people weren't able to get in contact with too. It just that furthered it, but at the same time, you know, that's a big expense. You know, people have to a lot of times go without work. You know, you have to give up your paycheck for that, and deal with that. Fortunately, you know, we are able to come out of it totally fine. You know, but there's others that aren't, you know. I know plenty of people who have already had to, you know, start figuring out what they can do to make up for 2 weeks lost wages and still, you know, pay their rent. And, you know, I got a friend that the roof and the walls of his place that he rents have been destroyed. So he has to find temporary housing while that's taken care of, you know. So it's very, very taxing. And, you know, you just consider yourself very fortunate that A, that we had a car to be able to get out of town, B, we had a place to go to, and C, if all else fails, we had credit cards that we could put it on and pay it off, you know. So I just feel very lucky for that.
Well, it creates a big domino effect for so many people, especially if they're living paycheck to paycheck. You know, if there's missed work because, you know, your place of business is just not open and you go down a week's pay or 2 weeks' pay, that's critical for some people. And let's face it, coming off the back end, you know, of what we went through last year into this year with the pandemic, a lot of people weren't in a financial position to necessarily, you know, ride this one out, so to speak. And so it really puts a lot of people at risk, especially, again, going back to those that are living paycheck to paycheck. So that's really critical. And I, it's just a huge concern as I see people having to deal with this in your neck of the woods and on the West Coast that have to evacuate for fire related reasons. Really troubling.
Well, yeah, and then you know, factor in off of Ida, what happened to the Northeast, and I can guarantee you a large majority of those people didn't have flood insurance. That's the other thing here. You got renters. Not everybody has renters insurance. Also, depending on your coverage, sometimes certain natural disasters are left out of the equation. And so you're left to the mercy of FEMA or yourself, you know, and again, you know, your response time, there's not enough insurance adjusters, enough roofers, enough federal contractor people to take care of all this. So at the end of it all, somebody is going to be put at a hardship longer than, you know, one deems necessary or even fair for that matter. And that can cause all kinds of problems, you know, cause marital problems, cause mental problems, all kinds of things. You know, I mean, I can tell you for one myself, the week that we were in at Beth's dad, you know, I didn't want to do anything. I felt I was in a position, I felt privileged because there are people back here in New Orleans and further south that have to face the reality. You know, I didn't feel like I should be out, you know, having a good time because other people don't have that luxury. And, you know, made it very hard for me. I was struggling a lot with that. I think I made myself sick from it. And you know, it's taking a toll on the mental health. And, you know, I know that we still have people that are on the mental health side that are dealing with Katrina, that have PTSD from Katrina. So, you know, it's not a fun thing all around. And again, I feel just very fortunate that we are able to get out when we were able to, and not have to go through everything that my fellow residents here went through.
Well, glad you're able to get through that. And you're right. There's still a lot of remaining issues to contend with all around you. I know for us in the Midwest, we, you know, obviously we face tornadoes all the time. But a month ago, we had a quick rising storm that came up, and we actually had 96 mile an hour winds that went through the city, and it actually reached a record. So it broke a record actually, and trees all around us went down. And so now I'm literally, I've had a couple of people come out and give bids because I have to have a tree that's literally so far they've estimated 80 to 100 years old. It's got to come out. And otherwise it's going to go on my house or the neighbor's house. So, I mean, there's a lot of trees that went down through the middle of our neighborhood. And that's another financial, like, hey, do you have $8,000 to come out of your pocket? Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. And insurance ain't going to cover it. And,
no, you
know,
not at all.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that's that thing there. I mean, I think one of the telltale signs that I've taken from this is, we had 24,000 energy people here to, I don't know how many are still here, but to come in and get things back up running. Our 2-hour drive, it's a little about 130, 135 miles. I would say out of every 10 cars, 8 of the cars were either AT&T or, you know, phone people or energy vehicles going there. There's generators galore. It's like nothing you'd ever want to see or you'd ever seen before. Just that convoy, that straight convoy, is amazing. You know, I've had the opportunity, at work, some of them were using, the parking lot next to us as their where they would put the vehicle at the end of the night, had the opportunity to talk to some of them, thank them. And, you know, they're all very gracious about it, but they all said they've never seen anything like it, you know? And, I just, we have to figure out something. So these things are not, destroying, us as human beings, you know? And I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to solve that, but the fact that a great majority of people live paycheck to paycheck and you know, they don't know when their next meal is coming from, so to speak, if you would, you know, we gotta start dealing with that crisis as well in our country and, seeing what can be done about that. And I know I'm preaching, but, it's put in a huge perspective, seeing it firsthand.
Well, it's a huge threat, obviously. And as we discussed, it's not just affecting one region, it's affecting everybody in one way or another, and with the intensity of these type of storms. So you're right, man, it's real. It has to be addressed as we face the future. Well, as we shift gears, let's go into our punch list, man. It's been a long while. We've got a fresh punch list on deck. And if, for those of you who are uninitiated, the punch list is a fun one for us. It's what we're watching, what we're listening to, what we're reading and or drinking as of late. So where would you like to start?
We'll start with drinking because I just had a fancy little drink last night. We were out celebrating our anniversary, and the restaurant we went to sits right across from the city park here. And so they had what's called the City Park Lemonade. And so unless you don't know, that is, or in case you don't know, sorry, that's bourbon, pomegranate, grenadine, and sour mix. Normally I'm not a bourbon fan, but this combination was just right. You had that nice sweetness and then that punch of the whiskey and the sour to just kind of bring you back. So I had the City Park Lemonade. And what have you been sampling lately?
Well, this last week I was in Austin, Texas for an event, and I was excited because I was able to get to one of my cideries that I absolutely loved. And so I had Austin East Ciders, and my favorite is their pineapple cider, and they do a great job with all their flavored ciders as well as their original. But man, that pineapple is the deal. I've even had it shipped to me here in Omaha, man. That's how much I love that stuff. So to have it in person was a treat for sure. So that was a good drink. Good drink.
Yeah, right. You got me hooked on those damn pineapple ones too. So, oh,
so good. You can't go wrong. All right, man. What have you been watching?
You know, I've been watching a lot of things, but the one I keep going back to, as far as when everybody asks, you know, when we talk about things at work or we're talking with different friends, Ted Lasso. The lines in there, some of them are so subtle and so great. There's always great musical references in there, great music in there. I also, I was watching a thing with Jason Sudeikis, and he had mentioned the interviewer said that his YouTube motivational quotes are like one of the top search things. And they wouldn't reveal which college football coaches had said they'd use him, his motivational stuff or his outlook for things. It's just a fun show. And it was a big winner this past week. So Ted Lasso is the one that I'm going to go out with on this one. What's going on over there?
Well, I'm going to completely piggyback there because Ted Lasso was written down on my list. And last night I caught up. Actually, I was an episode or two behind and I caught up last night. And I believe I'm current right now. on season two. And this one, that one caught me off guard, man. It was the Rick Astley episode, and that one hit. And, you know, for those of you who may need to catch up, I don't want to completely give things away, but the way they incorporated Rick Astley into that episode was really cool. It was really well done. That show is amazing to me simply because, I'm not going to lie, when I first read about the premise, I was approaching it from my logical mindset. Like, this is a dumb premise. Like, I'm not going to get into this, but I'm going to give it a shot. And I'm so glad I did, because the writing, it to your point, is so, so good. And there's so many great references in there. But what they've done that I think is amazing is truly made you care about these characters in a great way, and made them very relatable. And I don't know, latest episode hit me in a big way. That was a big one.
I'm not caught up yet on it, because we took 2 weeks off because of everything. I'm catching up with things. If you get a chance, I believe if you go on YouTube, there is kind of like a short that I think paved the way for the series. And I remember watching that at work. And I mean, we must have watched it 20 times, and we were all still laughing at the same things. You know, Ted's never going to give you up. He's never going to let you down.
So I'm going to walk away and desert you. But I didn't give anything away, I assure you. So, all right, man. Are you reading anything lately?
I currently am not reading a book, but I did read a book and finish it on our vacation. It's called Cassette from My Ex: Stories and Soundtracks for Lost Love. And you know, you and I have discussed mixtapes, the art of the mix, how much we miss them. I think at least every 6 months it comes up in one of our chats or communications back and forth. But I went through, it was interesting reading about it, the setup and then what happens in the future, and then some of the songs, I'm not gonna lie, some of those songs were staples on mixes I made, but some of these combinations, some of them would just kill me. Some of them I'm like, oh damn, that's a good mix, why didn't I think of that? And then some of them were, you know, there's a lot of head scratchers, but it was a fun read. Nothing that I had to think hard about. It didn't get dusty at all reading it, which is always a plus. So it was a good one. Cassette from My Ex. What have you been reading lately?
Well, I'm not going to lie, I have not. I have taken a little bit of a reprieve from reading. And part of it is intentional. I've been really focusing my extra time. I'm trying like heck to write. And so I've been really taking that time that I would devote to reading and trying to put myself in front of a laptop and pound out words. And so I've been writing, which has been great, but I'm actually missing that time. So I'm going to try to pick something up and get back into it. And as the weather shifts here, I think this is the perfect time to do so.
Now let me, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just wanted to add something. You know, I was like, all right, when with the hurricane, everything with that was, you know, I was bracing for that and the loss of power. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start reading. I'm going to get a new book. I'm going to pound it. I got a couple of new books that I picked up ready to read. And once the power went out and it was so silent in the house and all you hear was what was going on outside, I was like, there's no way in hell I can focus, you know? So anyway, I just
all the good intentions, man.
All the good intentions. Lastly, what's been in your ears lately? What you been listening to?
Well, I've been trying a couple new things out, just kind of forcing myself to try a couple things out. The last album that I dove into this last week actually was a new one by a guy named Anderson East, and his latest record is called Maybe We Never Die. And Anderson's going to be coming to town here in a couple months, and I think I'm going to take a shot and go see him. He's just got this really interesting, soulful voice, and he's a pretty decent little writer. I still can't get my head around how to classify him, and I don't know that I want to, but I've been liking what he's doing, and I gave it a shot this week, and I've been liking that album. So Anderson East, it is for me. How about you?
I've been, for about the last, probably all this year, I've been in a dream pop shoegaze phase. And, you know, you go down that hole, you Google a band, you start listening to them, and then you start reading reviews, and before you know it, you're like 10 bands deep. And there's a lot of great shoegaze music coming out of Australia, and or dream pop, whatever you want to, you know, however you want to classify it. This band Hyla, Hyla, the latest is Caravelle. I believe our friend Ian recommended them to me, and I put on the song from their first album, the first album, Osaka, the song called Foreign Tower. And it was dusty. I was like mouthing words I didn't even know. I was bobbing my head. I was wiping my eyes. I was like, holy shit, I need more of these guys. And finally I ordered both the albums from Australia, and they both showed up at the same time. And they've been in my playlist for a good 5 weeks now. I'm listening to them at least three times a week. I guess the easiest way, of course, dream pop. It's like a garage shoegaze kind of feel. But that song Foreign Tower is right up there. And just piggybacking that, I was talking to our friend Tony a few weeks back, and it was amazing. He was telling me to listen to some band, and talking, I was like, man, I've been reading all these bands I've been listening to, and all their influences, these guys are all like 25 years old, and all their influences are early 90s, like Catherine Wheel, Lush, Kitchens of Distinction, Ride, Slow Dive. It's like, how did that happen? You know, how are they, where is this coming from? Where are they getting that? So it did make me feel good about the future of music, or dream pop, if you will. But Hyla, sorry to go on and on, but yeah, Hyla's been dominating my playlist.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we have made it. We made it through the, first comeback episode in our latest season. So awesome stuff, man. I'm glad we're back on track.
Yes. I'm so happy to be doing this too. It's with everything that's going on, it's a great release, I feel, for me. Generally these conversations, the podcast and everything, ends up taking up a good hour and a half, but the buildup of talking about things and getting this out there, I've missed that in the last year, and I hope that we can take things in some of the directions we've talked about in the past, and look forward to being a little bit more productive and getting some stuff now that our contract is signed, sealed, and delivered. So,
well, I'm excited that the deal is done and we've got sponsorship in place, and look forward to a good season. So, with that being said, thanks for joining us on the PB&J Show. We look forward to talking to you very, very soon. Take care. This episode of the PB&J Show is brought to you by Zippy's Liquor. Zippy's has got it 24 hours a day. If you got to get there, they're going to get you there good. Stop by Zippy's 24 hours a day on the corner of St. Louis and Severn. Zippy's Liquor's got it. Going to get you there good.